You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
There's $1.5 billion a year just in America, not counting the NCAA tournament, gambled on sports every year. Why would you not get a piece of that?
Well, obviously, I think that the gambling will change.
Mike Danger.
Vegas now has an opportunity to expand their brands into any state that makes sports gambling legal. I mean, can you imagine walking into the MGM Grand Sportsbook in Times Square someday?
Gene Battaglia.
Fairburn Friday. We'll get caught up on all the Bills news of the week.
Absolutely. Thanks, fellas.
Matthew Fairburn's always the best.
The Cavs feel like the Quicken Loans Arena gives them a true home court advantage. They know that the Celtics are just 1-4 on the road these playoffs thus far.
Boston is a better team. I mean, the youth on that team, they're so good without two of their best players. It's ridiculous. But we always say, well, you have LeBron. You have LeBron. So you're going to get by on that. And I just don't know if they will this time.
Gene, I would like to revise my prediction for the Stanley Cup final.
The loose puck in front, they score. Alex Delord on a loose puck to came off the end wall, and Tampa Bay, at the end of the power play, scores with 8:03 to go. Alex Killorn makes it 3-2, Tampa Bay.
Rochester sports leader, 95.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. We appreciate you checking us out and stopping by this afternoon, however you may be listening. AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPNRochester.com, our home online, or the Radio.com app, free to download. You can take ESPN Rochester with you on your smartphone. Listen anywhere, anytime. Alongside Gene Battaglia, I am merely Mike Danger.
I love making fun of the interns here. Will, you're gonna go see Dustin Pedroia bat. Are you excited, Will?
This is your childhood baseball hero, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you're not gonna embarrass us, though.
No, I'm completely professional.
Okay.
Right. Only.
The bar has been set pretty low for professionalism in terms of being around your man crush. I mean, we don't have to look too far. I mean, look at Mike Mayock on Josh Allen's pro day.
There it is. Oh, yeah, folks.
Oh, come on. We need that one.
I mean, is there anybody like it?
We don't want to have to wire you during BP.
Right. Do you want BP? It starts at 4:45. Now, for folks who don't know, we're in High Falls, so you're only two blocks away here, so you can go over. But, I mean, is that what the call is going to be like? Are you going to call in? Well, Dustin Pedroia.
I think I have to.
He went opposite view. Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah, that breath in is the one that, like, something just happened below the waist there. Compose yourself, Mayock.
You know, you listen to that closely. It's like a Yanni Laurel thing. There's another guy, though, whoever was. He's laughing along with it, too. What? The two of them. Who's the other guy laughing in there?
Oh, yeah, folks.
Oh, come on. We need that one.
I mean, is there anybody like it?
I didn't hear a guy laughing.
Come on.
Right at the beginning. You know what I heard?
Laurel. Laurel.
Will just hears Pedroia.
let's do the test. What do you hear, Will?
Laurel.
Do it again.
One more time.
Laurel.
Yeah, that's
Laurel.
Pedroia. Yeah, right. That's what I thought. Very good. I heard an interesting comment on the legalized sports gambling that I hadn't thought of. And I was one of the guys, and Gene, we talked about this, before they made it legal. Like, what would it look like? What would the world look like if sports gambling were to be legal? And the idea that, you could have sports books replace sports bars, and every sports bar could become a sports book. And imagine, MGM having a sports book in Times Square and what that could look like. And the viewpoint that I had heard that I didn't really think of, and I guess this is true. If you're in Las Vegas, you would know better than a guy like me who visits Las Vegas maybe once every 5 to 10 years, that sports books generally are one of two things. It's either packed beyond comfort because there's a big event going on, or it's Sunday, or it's March Madness, or it's the Super Bowl, or whatever it might be, or there's 4 people in the sports book and 2 of them are passed out because the chairs are comfortable. It's either or. It's hardly ever sustainable meaning you don't have people coming in and out all the time of a sports book, which makes me then start to wonder, all right, so what does it look like? What does it look like when the day comes? Now, a sports book within a casino, of course, makes all the sense in the world. A sports book that you could see on your street corner, yeah, maybe not so much. Does it look more closely to the electronic kiosks like Duffy was describing yesterday, north of the border where you want to lay down action in Canada, at the casinos in Canada? Does it look, I mean, ultimately it's all going to end up on your phone anyways.
Well, I'll ask you this. Usually television rules the roost. Is it going to be betting that's going to become king? We had an NBA playoff game. We had a couple of them a couple weeks ago. What, 6 o'clock tip time? Okay, great. No problem. And to your point, Danger, yes, when games are all going on and it's an evening or it's a Sunday, that's fun. But are you going to have to stage more events at different hours? In other words, if I'm jonesing to lay down some action, we're all right. Take, for example, baseball. Baseball on a Wednesday afternoon, particularly in the spring, it's getaway day. Why do they do that? Well, because travel concerns and whatnot, but you watch it on TV. It's like, why do they even bother with this? We had the Mets-Jays game on. No one there. Dodgers-Marlins. No one there. No, it's television. No one there. Well, could we see different times, I guess? When we get to this point where betting is everywhere, will the casinos, will all these betting options start to pull game times in different directions? I'm just wondering.
You dictate game times. Yeah, like we need to be more distracted. Oh, now we've got action throughout the course of the day. Starting from the moment you wake up at 9 a.m., you're gambling. Hey, and by the way, again, I'll go back. I'll revert to ESPN streak for the cash game. Gene, I know you haven't really played it. You haven't really messed around, but essentially it's just,
should I do this for the show? I'll just tell Julie. I got to do this for the show.
It's free. Yeah. There's no cost to it. It's free. It's just a little bit of a time suck.
Well, I got to give my personal information away, but.
Well, you have an ESPN account already.
Yeah.
So you just download the app and link your account to it, and you're all set. No, actually, I think what it is I think it's within, you have the ESPN Fantasy app on your phone already. You could probably just join it from there, from your ESPN Fantasy app.
Wow.
It is a fantasy sport. You are just picking prop bets. You're picking games. And you're not just picking games at night. You're picking games throughout the day. Again, I keep bringing up ESPN because they already have this kind of infrastructure set where the lines are set. They're sharing the lines that are set for these games. And not just games stateside, games internationally.
Well, we talked about how New Jersey has waited for this day, and they prepared years for this day, and here they are, and Monmouth is ready to go. Congratulations, New Jersey. ESPN's the same way. They have this massive database through their NCAA free bracket game. It's free. Come on, play. You could win money. By the way, did we mention it's free? Do it. Well, nothing's free in life. You gave away your personal information. Now you're on that list. Wow. ESPN, I think, has a head start in this whole thing. And probably they were looking down the road to this day. And you were the first one, I think, Danger, that, you know, painted this picture of, hey, I'm looking at my phone. Let me look at this preview of this football game. Icon, bet here. Ooh, that's going
to
be good.
Gino, I'll point you in this direction right now, and I'm doing this as you're talking. I went to the ESPN Fantasy app, which is already in my phone because I play ESPN Fantasy Football. It by default, for me at least, went right to the streak game. It didn't go to the ESPN Fantasy Football page. It went right to streak. And the first item that you were able to pick was at 6:10 this morning, a tennis match.
Okay.
The second item was at 12:30 this afternoon. Another tennis match. But, a tennis match at the Rome Masters, okay? These are sporting events that you would normally not care about, but sporting events that if ESPN has its way, you're putting down action on. There's no action in this game because it's a free game to play and you don't win anything unless you amass a massive streak of wins. There's a golf option for you to pick at 1:40 in the afternoon. There's an NCAA softball tournament action for you to pick at 2:30 in the afternoon. Horse racing at 3:46 at Pimlico. More horse racing
at 4:17. That one we can actually, just turned 4:17. There's another one coming up at 4:49. So you have all of these options, and then you get later tonight, then you get the action that we're accustomed to. Who's going to win the matchup tonight between the A's and the Blue Jays? Who's going to win the match? What's the match result between the MLS match result between Orlando City and Toronto FC? Will Orlando win or draw, or will Toronto FC win outright? These are the prop bets that you have. So even though you don't have any action until prime time, when you have some baseball and you have some MLS, ESPN's already pulling in international sporting events that you, the user, can put action down on. You don't think they're ready for this? You don't think they're going to figure out a way? If there's action going on overseas, you'll be able to bet on it. How great is that? It's amazing. You'll always have action on the line if you choose to put down money on it. Things you have absolutely no interest in, you will now be interested in because you have some action on the line.
There we go. I just logged into this. Streak.
Yeah.
This is something that I've been blind to. You've opened me this whole new world, Danger. And it's free? Oh.
Play around with it, Gino.
Yeah.
I've gotten very frustrated with that game, and this is partially why I don't think I'm a big gambler, because I don't string along a lot of wins. And when I start to lose, I'm like, ah.
All right. So what is the business model here, though? Because I'm looking at this total monthly prizes, $35,000, and I'm playing this for free?
Yeah.
What? The ad time is going to... They get that many hits? They have that many players?
Yes.
By a cost per thousand?
Yes. What do you have there on your screen? I'm looking at it in the rear view. I see a banner ad for Geico. Is that a dog? Is that for Aspen?
No.
Is that the Humane Society? Well, banner ads you have? That's what's paying for your $35,000.
Yeah, I have a U.S. Army ad.
Yeah.
Okay, so who would join the U.S. Army? I don't think it's an old guy. I would think it would be somebody. I would think Will and Vinny here might be too old to join the U.S. Army at this point.
Right.
Yeah, that's the target here, Danger. My gosh, you want to think that...
We thought Duffy had a problem because he was gambling with a bookie in high school. Hey, listen, if you're a kid and you have the ESPN app, you're playing Streak.
The U.S. Army is going after the 16-year-old who likes action.
But think about how they...
Get your life right, son. Join the Army today.
That game right there is essentially what it could look like if you're ESPN in the future and you wanted to make money off of legalized gambling. You have it right there. It's already built into your app.
I still can't get over the Army advertising.
Yeah, play around with that this week and report back on Monday. Let me know how you do. I can never get... I think my biggest streak, believe it or not, is only like 5. And you have the option to pick whatever games you want to pick, whenever you want to pick them. And I think usually if you can get a streak going of over 20, that puts you in pretty good shape for a chance of winning that money. And I can't get over 5. Frustrating game.
Wait a second. The Dallas Wings Phoenix Mercury. I don't want to become WNBA guy, but if you're laying odds on the WNBA, you might want to go talk to somebody. Right? Honestly.
But here's
that's the time you got to walk
but
away.
But honestly, this is what they've been doing for years at ESPN. You and I don't have any interest in watching the WNBA game, but if you were to pick them in the streak game, well, that game all of a sudden has some value to you. You have some interest in that game.
But, okay, you're doing that or you're doing the horse race at Pimlico. There's no skill to it. Why not just spin the roulette wheel?
That's right.
I mean, that's all this is.
That's right.
That's all this is.
That's all gambling is. Games of chance.
But
that's
at least I could have some, based on my knowledge of football, I'm going to do this. Or based on following baseball, you don't have any. Nobody has any knowledge of WNBA.
This is how they get you, Gene. And I don't know if they have there on the desktop version, but I know on the mobile version, they will have... You know, comparisons that will compare the two teams. They will give you a little synopsis of what each team is going through. Is one team winning? Is one team losing? Where is one team stand in the standings versus the other team? Who's injured for this team? Whose coach is on the hot seat for this team? Like all this information that you didn't know, you can learn about on the fly for any of the things that they have posted up there.
Wow. Yeah. All the money right now, 82% are picking Vegas tonight over Winnipeg.
Now, is it just an outright win? Is that what
that's all that is. So that just tells me
is it Vegas win
biggest win. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they might give you different prop bets. How many goals will be scored in tonight's Vegas versus Winnipeg game is an example. How many saves will Fleury have tonight?
Oh my gosh, here's a prop bet. First goal tonight, NHL will have a two-person assist. You're betting on a secondary assist?
This is the future, Gene. This is what it looks like.
Oh my gosh.
You know this is what it looks like. This is what we talked about yesterday. This is what it looks like. You'll be able to make real-time bets during a baseball game, during a football game, those kind of prop during a hockey game.
Oh my, here's another one. They comboed the MLS NHL game. So that Orlando Toronto one you were talking about. Prop bet, goals scored in the first half and in the first period tonight. Of each game.
Yeah.
78% saying yes.
How many goals are they saying?
Just one.
Just one goal?
But you got to get a goal in the soccer game in the first half and a goal in the first period.
Okay.
I'm saying no, man. I mean, that's where I start, Danger. I'm going prop.
You're going to take that prop bet?
I'm going to take that prop. Go against the grain here.
Have fun with that. Welcome to your newest addiction, Gino. Doesn't cost you anything. You're welcome.
Kids, I'm sorry.
That's the future.
I'm sorry, children.
That's you're what the future looks like. In fact,
529 plan. It all started on the sports bar.
It even, you know, it's going to get even more in depth. That's just the beginning right there. There's your gateway. Let's get Fairburn in here. Matthew Fairburn, Syracuse Post-Standard. Talk some Buffalo Bills. Another OTA on the horizon. The veterans coming in.
Yeah, Thurman's number getting retired. How close would Shady be to the Hall of Fame? It's not there yet, but what would it take? By the way, what's the realistic expectation for LeSean McCoy? You can't put that workload again this year, or can you? Can you?
Matthew Fairburn, our guest next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
The voice of the Bills, John Murphy, and Bills Wall of Famer, Steve Tasker, give you all the latest news from One Bills Drive. One Bills Live is your home for exclusive interviews, live updates, and in-depth NFL analysis. Murph and Tasker take you inside the locker and down on the sideline to keep you up to date with everything Bills. Right here, noon to 3, on the home of the Buffalo Bills. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. If you want pure, unfiltered, unadulterated sports, you've come to the right place. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
We're back in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, appreciate you listening on ESPN Rochester, ESPNRochester.com, or the free-to-download radio.com app. We only want to talk to the best and brightest minds to make you a smarter sports fan, a smarter Buffalo Bills fan. That's why, as often as we can, we try to talk to Matthew Fairburn, usually on a Friday. Fairburn Friday with Matthew Fairburn of the Syracuse Post-Standard. Matthew, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Well, you know, it's a quiet week for the Buffalo Bills, but give the Bills a little credit. They did create some news of their own by honoring Thurman Thomas, the number 34, to be retired. Matthew, was that an honor that was overdue, would you say?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I would say he's right there in the conversation with the best Buffalo Bill of all time, and he was the third to have his number retired. So you could argue that it was overdue. It was also probably overdue for Bruce Smith when they did that a couple of years ago. So tying up some loose ends, I guess, with stuff like this, they've generally done either a jersey retirement or a Wall of Fame each year, not necessarily both. So maybe this means nobody's going to get on the wall, but I think, you know, Thurman Thomas having his number retired, it was sort of just a formality because nobody had worn the number, you know, since him. So it's been out of circulation, and now it's just going to be official, and he'll get, you know, a night to celebrate on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the opportunity, too. I mean, the Bills, let's face it, they don't get a lot of primetime looks. This is a primetime look. Why not showcase one of your greats on a national stage?
Yeah, and like you said, they maybe, I think, wanted to do this sooner, but they didn't have a home primetime game last year. So, you know, you don't get a ton of those opportunities, and generally they try to do it on that stage. Why that is, I guess, just to get more exposure, maybe get some of the TV eyeballs on them and, you know, have sort of a bigger stage for them to share that moment. They did that with Bruce Smith a couple years ago, and that was when the Bills got smacked around by the Jets in week two, but you know, Thurman Thomas will be hoping for a better showing from the home team this time around.
Matthew Fairburn, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. If you wanted to have the debate, Matthew, who is the greatest running back of all time, I guess you could try, but to me, I would say Thurman, based on overall numbers, over O.J. Simpson. But I'm asking the question in this way. Where does LeSean McCoy fit in the conversation? I mean, when it's all said and done, how much further do you think LeSean has to go before we say, Matthew, okay, no question, this guy is going to get into Canton?
I think he's not all that far off. He's, what, about 1,900 yards away from getting to 12,000, which is typically sort of the magic number. He's got over 13,000 yards from scrimmage, which is another really impressive number. So Thurman Thomas had 12,000 rushing yards and 16,000 yards from scrimmage. He did that in a more run-heavy era than LeSean McCoy is playing in. And I think you could make the case that LeSean McCoy has been one of the two or three best running backs in football for quite a while now. And so I think he needs a couple more years. He, you know, if he retired tomorrow, he probably doesn't get in, but he's definitely on the path to getting there. I think another couple strong seasons like he's had, you know, playoff success is something always people say, oh, if he gets a little bit more playoff success, that certainly wouldn't hurt, just because it gives him a chance to shine on that stage. But I think if he gets to 12,000, and, you know, along the way gets to, you know, 15,000, 16,000 yards from scrimmage, then I think he's making himself a really good case. I mean, how many running backs can you talk about from this era that deserve it more than him? I can only think of maybe Adrian Peterson, and even that's up for debate. So I think in terms of guys that deserve to get in, he's next up with running backs.
Matthew Fairburn of the Syracuse Post-Standard, a guest, Fairburn Friday in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Matthew, how do you project LeSean McCoy's 2018 season? I mean, you look at what the Bills have done on defense, sure feels like they've plugged a lot of holes and they've shored some things up, and that defense is going to be the strength of this team. On the offensive side of the ball, of course, it's a whole different story with a line that you really have a lot of questions about. You don't really know much about the quarterback. The one constant and the one thing that you can kind of bank on is LeSean McCoy. This offense is probably going to run through LeSean McCoy. What kind of a season do you think he could have this year in Buffalo?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, on the one hand, like you said, he's the guy on offense that's been easy to count on, the one that you can expect to have a really strong season no matter what. But he is turning 30 years old, and I know that's sort of the magic number for when running backs go off the cliff, but this is a guy who doesn't take a ton of direct hits and punishment to his body, doesn't have a violent running style. So I think he can stay fresh for another couple of seasons. My main question is how the changes along the offensive line are going to impact him, because you're talking about two, potentially three new starters, depending on where Marshall Newhouse fits into the equation. You're going to need a new center. You're going to need a new left guard with Eric Wood and Richie Incognito retiring. Those were two key pieces for him. You're also talking about Deion Dawkins taking on a full-time role at left tackle in place of Cordy Glenn. So even though he's done that before, that's still a question mark. I mean, this offensive line, maybe it will be better, but right now it's just a big question mark, a lot of unanswered questions surrounding them up front. So it'll be interesting to see. I think he's going to see a lot of, you know, eight-man boxes as teams, you know, gear up to stop the run. Whether it's AJ McCarron or Josh Allen in there, I don't think that will matter. I think defenses are going to know that LeSean McCoy is getting the ball. But he's found a way to make things happen regardless. I just think it's tough to say, you know, set it and forget it. He'll have his yards and he'll be one of the best backs in the league, because he is turning 30. And there are questions about the offensive line, but I think he's fresh enough and he'll be healthy enough and in shape enough to do his usual damage It's just a matter of what's going on around him, if that will allow him to thrive the way he's accustomed to.
Matthew Fairburn, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Talk a little more about that offensive line. You brought up a name I hadn't thought of in a while, Marshall Newhouse. Matthew, when they signed him, I thought, okay, here's somebody that is camp fodder, so to speak. Just a body there, but bouncing around the league, you really think he could perhaps challenge for a starting spot in that offensive line?
I don't know. Maybe his name's just on my mind because he's been on every Barstool sports podcast known to man the last couple of days. He's been doing the tours. So I guess that's effective PR on his part. But I think they signed him for a reason, and they signed him with a role in mind. I'm not saying he will definitely start. I think there's a chance that he could factor into the picture at right tackle. At the very least, he's going to give them some depth, maybe be a swing tackle. I've thought Jordan Mills has played better than he's given credit for a lot of the time over the last couple of years, but that's still a guy that they tried to replace when they first got here. They tried to sign Ricky Wagner and make a splash in free agency before falling back on Jordan Mills. So I think it's going to be a competition. I think there's a chance that Marshall Newhouse could get that job. He's been around the league a long time, hasn't necessarily been, you know, a stud for a prolonged period, but you don't hang around the league that long by accident. So I think he and Jordan Mills are similar in that regard. They've both hung around and been steady, not quite spectacular, but, you know, it could be an interesting battle for them up front. I think they actually have decent depth at offensive tackle. It's more the interior of the offensive line that'll probably, you know, give them some headaches during training camp, but they have some options at tackle if everything works out and guys stay healthy.
We know that Newhouse has a strong Twitter game. I mean, as a Bill, for Bill's Twitter, Newhouse is great news. Let's see what he does actually on the field. He's been pretty comical on Buffalo Bills Twitter. Matthew Fairburn, Syracuse Post Standard, joining us here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Matthew, we've spent a little bit of time this week. Dan Graziano put out a piece on ESPN.com, the quarterback confidence index for all 32 teams in the league. The Buffalo Bills 32nd out of 32 teams, obviously. What I'm trying to find anybody that can make an argument to say the Bills are at least 31st instead of 32nd. I mean, is there any argument to be made there with that ranking?
I mean, it depends on how you look at it, because I think you're looking at it from two different spots. If you're looking at it from present day 2018, what the quarterback picture is going to look like, it's fair to put the Bills at the bottom because there's absolutely no telling what you're getting out of any of these guys. I mean, Nathan Peterman threw 5.5 interceptions last year. A.J. McCarron has played sparingly throughout his NFL career. And Josh Allen completed 56% of his passes in the Mountain West and has never taken an NFL snap. So there's a lot of questions. And until they prove otherwise, people are going to, you know, harp on that, and they're going to, you know, bury them in every ranking or, you know, evaluation of this roster. But that's not to say that there's not slivers of hope here. I mean, A.J. McCarron had his moments in that playoff game that he played when Andy Dalton was injured, and he's a guy that's been waiting for this opportunity. He's hungry for it. He's confident that he can take advantage of it, and stranger things have happened, right? I mean, look at the year Case Keenum had last year.
Sure.
I would not have expected that. The guy was, you know, still a free agent come the owners' meetings. He latches on and finds a way to become a legitimately productive quarterback, and then he got paid this offseason. So that could happen with A.J. McCarron. With Josh Allen, I mean, look at some of the success rookie quarterbacks had a year ago. Deshaun Watson comes to mind, not saying Josh Allen's going to jump in and beat Deshaun Watson, but rookie quarterbacks have had immediate success. And all it will take, the funny thing about all these rankings and different things is, yeah, sure, like the Bills can be 32nd for now. That's fair based on what they've done, which is absolutely nothing, basically all three of these guys. But all it takes is a 6-game stretch, you know, to totally turn that around. If Josh Allen comes in and plays really well, or A.J. McCarron gets the Bills off to a good start, people will start changing their tune. I didn't read Dan Graziano's piece, but my guess is that the 49ers were pretty high up on the list. A year ago, that would not have been the case. You know, they make a move and Jimmy Garoppolo comes in, plays really well, and there you go. They move up the list. So it's a fine line with all things like that. And ultimately, I don't think the Bills are that concerned about that. It's more about where is their quarterback situation going to be in 2021 or even 2020, 2019. That's where they want to be, you know, set up for the long term. But, you know, if you're a Bills fan, I can see where it's a little bit of a bummer when you think, hey, the team finally, you know, addressed the quarterback position, and then you go and check out the old power rankings and everybody's still got them down near the bottom. It's a little bit of a downer.
Well, I mean, if they're looking at it through a 2018, you know, view, I guess I can understand that. Matthew Fairburn, Syracuse Post Standard, our guest here in the Sports Bar today. A quiet day out at One Bills Drive. Matthew, what sets up next week? OTAs. Does this mean that, you know, do they spoon feed Allen a little bit more next week? How does all next week look out at One Bills Drive?
Yeah, this is our first chance, at least, to get a look at him against some veterans. And we'll get to see sort of the first peek at how they feel about him and how much they want to bring him along. You know, is he going to be taking reps behind Nathan Peterman? Or will he get, you know, some first-team reps? I mean, there's a wide spectrum of what they could give him and how they'll talk about him, how the veterans will talk about him. I think all of that stuff is very interesting just because, like we mentioned, there's just so much unknown about this guy. Also, you know, same goes for A.J. McCarron. Is he going to have, you know, some moments out there? Are people going to start to rally around him? I mean, you know, people think that all this spring practice and OTAs and minicamp is useless, but this is when there's a quarterback competition, this is where it starts. It's subtle, but this is where it starts. And this is where Tyrod Taylor picked up some ground a few years ago. And it's where, you know, he started to pick up some momentum. So I think if one of these guys starts to separate, we might start to see it. Maybe it won't be, you know, plainly obvious, but maybe we'll hear some things. You know, maybe teammates will start to react a certain way. I mean, a lot of that stuff can happen. Now, it's not too heavy into the football stuff just yet, but I believe they can start doing 11-on-11s and things like that. No pads or anything, but they can start to do some things that resemble football out there. And, you know, now that everybody's together, the rookies and the veterans, you start to get a clearer picture of how this team is going to come together as a whole.
What's a fair expectation this preseason for Josh Allen? I keep thinking to myself, if I look on the horizon and see how it kind of plays out, if he's listed as third string and he's playing in preseason games against third string defenses, he should outperform them. He should look good. He should look better than what the Bills fans probably anticipate. And then maybe that moves him up the depth chart. And then by the end of the preseason, what was a quarterback competition might lead into a quarterback controversy by week one. Can you see something, a scenario like that happening, Matthew?
Yeah, sure. I think if he starts that first preseason game as number three, I think that's a bit of a disappointment. I mean, you're picked seventh overall. You should be able to beat out Nathan Peterman. And I know that this coaching staff likes Nathan Peterman, but he's in his second year and all that, but this is a new offense that's supposedly going to be tailored to Josh Allen's skills. And if he can't find a way to at least wrestle the number two job away from Nathan Peterman by the time the first preseason game comes along, that, in my eyes, I would see that as a disappointment. Sure. I don't care how raw he is. I don't care, you know, about people saying he needs to sit. That's one thing, but being third string after you were picked seventh overall is not what you're looking for, especially if Nathan Peterman's the one keeping you at third string. Again, that's a guy who did not have really any measure of success last season. So that's where I would start. But I think you're right in the sense that if he starts either there or number two, the expectation should be for him to have success and move the ball and kind of keep the offense on schedule and make some plays. I expect him to make a few plays that have people really, you know, wondering about his potential. I expect him to make some jaw-dropping throws or break some tackles in the pocket. And if he's not doing some of those things, there starts to be some concern. You need to see progress, and you need to see it in a somewhat reasonable pace. You don't necessarily expect this guy to become who he is or who he's going to be overnight, but at least in that preseason, you got to see some flashes. You got to see some progress. And maybe, you know, I've said all along that, you know, if you can't beat out AJ McCarron, you might have picked the wrong guy. Maybe that seems a bit harsh, a bit strong, but at the same time, at the very least, you have to show some potential and some flashes, because if not, you know, maybe we are looking at a situation where this kid sits the whole year. And then you're going into the offseason thinking, man, all we saw of this guy was the preseason, and it wasn't even that good. So I think, you know, the clock starts now. The clock already started. It started, you know, the moment he was drafted, the moment they made the call to trade up. That's when the clock starts on a guy like this. When you start to hope to see some progress and see it on the field in the preseason, in training camp, in practices, because if not then when are you going to see it? You know, that's where you start to learn about this kid and, you know, maybe ease some of the concerns of the fan base. And look, I think the expectation should be that he gets on the field at some point in 2018. And if he's not doing anything in the preseason, that's not going to give people too much confidence that he's going to do it. Right now, the Vegas over-under has Josh Allen at 10.5 starts for the year, which is an interesting number. It's a high number. And I think it reflects sort of this expectation of rookie quarterbacks that at some point he gets on the field and holds down the job and does what he can do. So put the expectations wherever you want them in the preseason, because I think that's what happens when you're a top 10 pick at that position.
Matthew Fairburn, Syracuse Post Standard, bringing some great info and insight into Josh Allen. What about Peterman? Because we all expect Peterman to fall number 3. Well, Matthew, there are plenty of teams that go with only 2 quarterbacks on their 53-man roster. Will Nate Peterman be in danger of not making the final roster this year?
You know, my gut tells me he won't, just because it seems like they really like him. But, you know, they liked him enough to bench Tyrod Taylor for him last season, which is still reasonably alarming when you think about it, because Tyrod Taylor, for all his faults, was pretty steady. And it made you think, wow, this Peterman guy must really be doing something in practice if they're going to throw him out there. And then to see the results, you're kind of scratching your head and you're wondering, what did they see in this guy that they thought he would be better than Tyrod Taylor? Not that Tyrod Taylor is, you know, Tom Brady, but he was pretty solid for this team and keeping him in the playoff hunt. And there was a pretty big drop off when Peterman went in there. So he has to show quite a bit of progress. I mean, you don't need 3 quarterbacks on the roster, but I think the question would be, is AJ McCarron a legitimate long-term backup option? Because he clearly has a desire to start. And so, you know, he doesn't have a long contract. So I think maybe the hope is that Peterman develops into that long-term backup option. But I still would be surprised if he were cut. But there are some tough numbers games that have to get played at the end of the preseason. And, you know, if they see a guy, you know, that's worth keeping on the roster, maybe they do decide to go with 2 quarterbacks. I think they would certainly, a lot will probably depend on where Josh Allen is in his development and how comfortable they feel with him, because I think that's where a lot of the dominoes will start to fall. And I would say, if I was betting right now, I would say Peterman makes the roster, but I don't think he should be guaranteed a spot by any means based on the results we've seen.
Matthew Fairburn of the Syracuse Post-Standard, good to join us here in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Matthew, before we let you go, I mean, the sports world and the sports landscape changed on Monday with the smackdown of PASPA. What do you see as the future of not just the NFL, but sports in general, now that sports gambling is legal in states that choose to participate?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. You know, now people can bet as if that wasn't happening all over the country anyway.
Wow.
But I think it's going to be slow, I think, to kind of work its way through before we see, you know, the full impact. A lot of the headlines on Monday were, you know, everything has changed. This changes everything. Sports will never be the same. My guess is sports will look pretty similar for a little while until all the states kind of come around and figure out a plan to implement some form of legal betting on sports. And also, you know, some of the technology that needs to get in place that, you know, will make this a little bit more accessible to more people. But I think it'll be somewhat similar to, you know, when FanDuel and DraftKings became really big a few years ago and we saw the commercials all over the place. You know, there's going to be sort of this race to become the dominant company in that field. And I think it's going to be interesting. There's going to be more technology advancements and different things that will make this, you know, maybe look different. But a lot of what I don't get concerned about, you know, the integrity of the game or anything of that nature, because if guys wanted to throw games or anything else, they would have already been doing that. It's not like it's that hard to place a bet in the United States of America. And I think the other thing too is this might make it even less likely to happen. You know, if a guy wants to fix the game, there's going to be a paper trail, right? There's going to be bets placed either by that person or by somebody he knows. And, you know, I think it'll be easier to maybe keep track of everything now that it's above the table. So it'll be interesting, that's for sure. But I do think it's going to take a little bit longer than people think. I don't think we're going to roll out of bed and be, you know, pulling up an app and putting wagers on games all over the place. But I think over time, that will eventually be the reality. And, you know, leagues are going to have to learn how to navigate that.
Matthew Fairburn, Syracuse Post-Standard. You can follow him, obviously, on Twitter, at Matthew Fairburn. We always appreciate your time on a Friday, Matthew. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds great. Talk to you soon, guys.
Thanks, Matthew. Matthew Fairburn of the Syracuse Post-Standard. Always good talking to him. Fairburn Friday. Fairburn Friday.
You know, it's a different perspective on Josh Allen. Basically, in as many words, if he doesn't beat out A.J. McCarron, then what are you doing?
Correct.
Yeah.
He didn't draft a guy top 10 overall to have him sit behind A.J. McCarron long term. No way. And point on Nathan Peterman, yeah, if he goes into the preseason as the number three that he hasn't shown them enough up to that point to be the number two, that's a disappointment. Come back next. Happy hours upon us, Gino. NFL appetizers will go around the NFL, serve up the day's top stories. And our daily special as well. Another round of shots coming up at 2. You're in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24/7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.